I'll say the good news is there's a lot less skill involved than you think. I was a unskilled 23-year-old guy when I started my cleaning company. So people who've already had some work experience will be in a far better position than I was, I think, to start something like this. So that's the good news. But in terms of actually running it remotely, there are a couple things that are just non-negotiable and absolutely essential. And I'd say the main two are automation and delegation, really mastering how to create processes in your business and create real systems and actually have everyone in your company follow them.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 127 with remotely local business whiz, Chris Schwab.
This is squadron leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. Thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, JC Preston, and today I'm going to be joined by founder at Amplify Indie, Harrison Painter. If this is the first time you're listening in, this is a show where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you find and execute your own personal mission and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Now, one of the things that we spotlight here on the show are folks who have not only left the traditional working world, but they've also opted for a lifestyle where travel is the norm. And for some of our guests, you know, they've been fortunate enough to start their business with a traveling lifestyle in mind, a traveling mindset in mind. But, you know, the work they do can be done from a laptop. And that's kind of the key thing. However, you know, the question is, what if you're already started a local business or have local services? And while you might want to travel more, you don't see exactly how that would work. For example, how does someone like a mechanic, you know, a tutor, or even a professional cleaner move their business from, you know, the S quadrant, if you're familiar with Rich Dad Poor Dad, to the B quadrant, where you don't really own the job anymore, you actually own a business? Or simply said, you know, how can a local business become more passive? Well, today's session is for you if this is a question that you've had. And in today's guest, Chris Schwab, started his own cleaning business when he was in college. And however, he knew that he didn't want to, you know, be the actual cleaner. So he designed the business so that he was essentially the manager of the business from the get-go, which allowed him to not put all kinds of time into it. This business, ThinkMaids, was started in Washington, D.C. area. And as you'll hear in today's chat, Chris is actually living in London. So in this conversation, we'll be talking about how he went through setting up his business, how he then went on to start his next business, Innova Local, and even the new premium group that he's in the middle of launching. We'll get into talking about that a little bit. Also, we'll be talking about skills that you need to run a business remotely, how he finds great people to be part of his local business, and what you should expect from working with Chris if you want to make your local business more passive yourself. Before we get into that, I want to remind you guys about Fizzle. In today's chat with Chris, you're going to hear about his new community that he's putting together. And, you know, it's really highly specific to helping local business become, well, as I've been saying, more passive. But what if you want to start a business from scratch and you're not even sure where to even begin? That's what Fizzle is all about. You know, even this week, I was listening to a podcast of theirs that I had to pass on to others. And, you know, they were talking about why a small group program might be a great solution. You know, if you don't want to do that whole one-on-one service thing, but then again, you don't have enough of a following to put out a course. And of course, I'll have the link for that in the show notes. But the thing is that you really don't want to miss out on this kind of information as a beginner. And interestingly, you know, specifically this example is what we're really doing here locally with some of the Amplify events. What's great is that Fizzle is full of content and ideas like this for the beginner. And the best part is that for a low monthly fee, you can get access to classes, group coaching, and a community who doesn't have an agenda like you'd find on many Facebook groups, as Chris says. If it sounds like something you want to check out, you can do so for free for your first month by visiting newinceptions.com/fizzle. Again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. Okay, so don't forget to subscribe to the show on CastBox, iTunes, or your favorite podcasting app. You know, personally, again, I recommend CastBox because it's very easy to use and connect with the podcast hosts themselves. And as usual, show notes and show note extras of this conversation can be found at newinceptions.com/127, and I'll be on after the show to fill you in on anything we might have missed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm JC Preston, your host, and today with me again is the man with the plan, Harrison Painter. Thank you so much for joining us. Harrison, what's up?
You got it, man. I don't know if I have the plan, but we're working on the plan. How's that?
Yeah, definitely working on the plan, and a lot of exciting things coming up here locally that, again, sometime down the pipeline, we want to help bring to other communities. One of the things that we're doing with it is that we want to, you know, focus on local talent, right?
Absolutely. We've got our big monthly event here in the Indianapolis area happening next week, and we showcase local musicians, we showcase local artists, we showcase local nonprofits, and then we bring in a keynote speaker. You know, the whole purpose of this is we want to celebrate culture, community, and commerce. We think it's very important. Doesn't matter what you do in life. It's all about creating that balance to find happiness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, really, I mean, as we've talked about a number of times, these folks really, they need help. They're so busy in their craft that they need help getting their names out there. And this is one of the opportunities that we can give them.
Absolutely. They're pulling their hair out. You know, the small business owner, they're struggling. You know, they're doing everything for their business, right? Their sales, their marketing, they're sweeping the floors, their bookkeeping, right. their attorney, the accountant, the everything. So I'm really excited about today's guest because he creates some solutions for these people.
Yeah. What's interesting about what he does with his company, Innova Local, is that he provides local business virtual assistance. And what's interesting about this to me is that when I think of virtual assistance, you know, I think of people who generally, you know, they help pretty much online business folks, not necessarily your brick and mortar type, you know, real life service type individual.
More like Elance, right?
Type thing. Exactly. And, you know, on top of this, and the other businesses he's actually running, he's also traveling the world. In fact, he's currently speaking with us while he's in London. And today's guest is Chris Schwab, who can be found at novalocal.com. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me again, guys.
Yeah, pleasure having you here. And yeah, really interested in your perspective and all the different things that you're doing with your multiple businesses. So needless to say, you're a bit of a digital nomad, or as guest Gregory Deal once said, a citizen of the world. Don't know which one you prefer. Was that something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of something I've actually done for a lot of my life. I sound completely American, but I actually grew up in England. So I'm a dual citizen. And throughout my childhood, I'd really traveled to a lot of different countries, particularly Southeast Asia. So it was kind of a natural progression when I reached university that it's something I knew I wanted to continue doing. So it's something that I'm just not going to stop.
I can see why. Amongst all your many travels, do you have any specific memories that stick out to you the most?
Honestly, one of my favorite memories is when I went to Thailand. I was about 13 at the time. We went to a tiger temple. We got to play with baby tigers, and I got to walk a teenage tiger. And that was just a really impactful memory because it's not something you can do in England, right? You can't walk a tiger.
Right.
So just really cool experiences like that, they really stick out in your head. So I'd say it's probably my favorite memory from traveling.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah. No, I mean, you can't walk a tiger in many places around the world. So that's definitely unique, that's for sure.
What is the neatest place so far that you've traveled to?
Man, it's so tough.
Or you know what? Maybe this is a better way to put it. What's a place that you went to that you kind of had this perception, and then when you got there, it was totally different than what you thought it was going to be?
Wow, that is a really great question. I would say Greece. I actually lived in Greece recently for about a month, just in April and May. And I thought it was just this really beautiful place, just beautiful islands, beautiful everything, perfect, right? Great to relax. And it was nice. But the thing that really, I would say, surprised me the most was the warmth of the people. I was actually looking for some time to just be alone by myself and decompress. But the people were so warm and welcoming. I randomly became friends with waiters and other people that I encountered. And so the warmth of the people is something that is obvious when you know about Greece, but I didn't. And so I was really surprised how much that changed my perception of Greece. And now it's a place that I'd really love to go back to now that I know that.
That's so cool. And when I think about Greece, you know, for me at my age, you know, I think about a big fat Greek wedding, and I can definitely see at what you're talking about there. How did you realize though that this is going to be a long-term lifestyle choice for you?
I would say, so I actually graduated from university relatively recently in 2016. But before that I started my cleaning company before I left. I would say a few months before I started my cleaning company, I knew that I couldn't do the whole employee thing. It just wasn't for me. And a big reason that I couldn't do that was I felt I'd be chained to a place for a long time, and that wasn't really who I was. And so one of the reasons I started my cleaning business was in order to facilitate the lifestyle that I wanted to lead. So it came out of a place of travel, but also inner cultivation. I would say that's, yeah.
Right. So with ThinkMades, I mean, that was basically, again, a way for you to help yourself get through school as you said, university. But a lot of people, especially when I'm thinking services and, you know, brick and mortar stores and specifically, you know, they think that, and it's very traditional thinking, I got to add, but they think that everybody that you work with has to be local. However, I mean, your businesses really go against that grain. How did you come up with the idea of remotely running a cleaning service business?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think you're going to start seeing a lot of people do similar things over the next few years. But and I will say I'm not passionate about cleaning toilets at all. But I would say the big way that I thought about it was I actually looked at the competition when I started my cleaning company, and I looked just on Yelp and Google, and I looked at all the 1-star, 2-star, and 3-star reviews, specifically at what they were doing wrong. And what they were doing wrong was customer service, was reliability. It was all business side of things. You know, they may be great cleaners, but they weren't actually doing the business side of it well. And so people were really angry about that. And those are all things that you don't actually have to be physically there for. You have virtual phone systems, you have email systems, website, online marketing, all of the essential pieces of running a business in 2016, 2018, that you can do them from your laptop. The only part that you can't do yourself is the physical service, right? If you're a handyman, you have to actually go there and fix it. If you're a cleaner, you have to actually go there and clean. But me as the business owner, I didn't have to actually do any of that myself. I just had to have teams who are reliable, who I could send the work to. So when I saw that the business side of things was essentially all virtual, I saw already ways that I could make it completely remote.
So here's a big question then, because I tell you, business owners I talk to all the time struggle. Probably their number one struggle is finding good help. Yes. So now you're working from London, but running a cleaning business in DC. So how do you find these type of reliable people, or what's your process to screen and find those folks you can truly depend on?
Yeah. So it's very different from when I first started. When I first started, of course, I was based in DC, and I had cleaners come to my apartment and actually clean my apartment, which was nice as a test to come and see if they were actually good or not. But as I've grown and as I've transitioned remote, we had to figure out a way to actually make this whole thing work. And so we do have a process now. So in our particular company, this will differ from niche to niche. What we do is go on a site called thumbtack.com. It's just a contracting site for your listeners, that you can hire a cleaner or an HVAC cleaner or whatever. But the really cool thing about it is you can see all their reviews, their hires, and how reliable they are. So what we do is, instead of coming on as a customer requesting a clean, we reverse the platform for our own use. And instead of putting up an ad on Craigslist for a cleaner, we actually just pretend to be a customer on Thumbtack. And then we find all the great profiles that meet our criteria. And we actually call those cleaners and say, hey, we actually have a lot of work recently and we'd love to pass some out onto you. Would you like to come in for a trial clean? So we actually just twist the use of Thumbtack a little bit for our own use. We contact the cleaners that we think will be a great fit. And this is the part that took a little adjusting to was finding a way without my own apartment to test them if they were really good at cleaning. And so what we figured out to do was we have about 5 or 6 very reliable old-time customers of ours who really like us and have a good relationship with us. And I actually approached them about it gently and I asked them, hey, would you like a free cleaning in exchange for reviewing the performance of this new cleaner we're thinking of hiring? Can you see if they came on time? Were they rude? What type of supplies they use? And things like that. So what we did was we just really approached a core group of customers and we give them free cleanings in exchange for telling us about that cleaner.
Thumbtack is actually, we had a past co-host, Layla Ramadi, on, and she actually used that site quite a bit for tutoring. She was a math tutor and used that quite a bit. So there's all kinds of services that you can find on Thumbtack. It's not just limited to, you know, your traditional services.
Yeah, it's a really cool platform. That was one of the big drivers of early growth for us. We really jumped on that at a good time.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So do you think that any business can use Thumbtack the way that you've been able to use it? I mean, kind of to hack the system, so to speak? Or
for finding teams, I would say yes. For finding customers, until recently, I would have said yes, but Thumbtack has undergone a lot of not so positive changes for the pros. Increasing the price of bids, increasing the number of pros who can bid, which dilutes the conversion rate you have. So if you'd be getting 5 hires every 20 bids, you might get 2 now. So there has been some changes, I'll be honest about, that were not the best. But for finding teams, if you do it the way I've done it, it's an absolute gold mine. Because when you find teams, most people go to job hunting sites. You don't want to do that. You want to go to the marketing channels where they're looking for extra work and then just approach them about the extra work.
So say something like, I'm not going to say an Angie's List, but something in that niche sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So wherever they're marketing for their customers, just go and pretend to be a customer until you get them on the phone.
Gotcha.
Awesome. This is interesting because we always hear about the gig economy, right? And we really hear about the Uber drivers and that type of thing, but we very seldom get somebody like you on the show where we can actually talk about the other side of the business, right? Physically working remotely and managing people that are in the gig economy. So if somebody has a really cool idea and they could start a business based on the gig economy, what are some of the steps on getting started and actually running a business remotely? Because I would assume there's a lot of skills involved that are much different from if I'm physically in the city I'm working in. So what are some of those disciplines and tips that you can give somebody to help them that might want to start a business like this?
Well, I'll say the good news is there's a lot less skill involved than you think. I was a unskilled 23-year-old guy when I started my cleaning company. And so people who've already had some work experience will be in a far better position than I was, I think, to start something like this. So that's the good news. But in terms of actually running it remotely, there are a couple things that are just non-negotiable and absolutely essential. And I'd say the main two are automation and delegation, really mastering how to create processes in your business and create real systems and actually have everyone in your company follow them. So finding ways to delegate effectively and learning how to get better at that continuously as you expand is absolutely essential. Because to be honest with you, the same core principles that you use to grow your business and scale it are actually the exact same as the ones that you need it to run. You need to run it remotely. You need to be able to delegate to someone else who is not yourself everything but the most essential tasks that you have to handle.
But what about the discipline of, you know, it's one thing to try to stay focused when you're in, you know, the business, the city you're working in, but you have a lot of distractions, right? I mean, you're traveling the world, you're exploring, you're in different places. I would assume there's some fun parties, there's some late nights, there's some beautiful evenings, some mornings, some hiking, right? All these different things that you can enjoy around the world. So how do you find the discipline to keep focused to make sure that the business is running smoothly?
Okay. Well, I think you'll appreciate this answer because I know you're both Tim Ferriss fans. For me, it's two things. One is having clarity in what I want to do, because when you have clarity in what you want to do, it's much easier and there's much less barrier to actually keep going on it. When you don't have clarity and you're running in a dozen different directions, it's much easier to get distracted because that's your default state. So when you have clarity, combining that with something like a morning routine where you consistently start your day off the same, that's a very powerful combination. And it's a very self-selecting thing, because people who are able to gain clarity and have a consistent morning routine are far more likely to be able to continue with that sort of discipline that they need to be able to run something remotely.
I love it, because I think entrepreneurs or want to be entrepreneurs are under this misconception that you're always being creative, new, disruptive, innovative, and that creates a state of chaos. That creates a state of unclarity, right? But a true entrepreneur takes that chaos, creates that clarity, and gets focused. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because I don't think enough people really share that publicly enough.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's something that I spend a lot of time thinking about, and it's something that I struggle with a lot. So that's why I place a lot of importance on it, because there's so many businesses and side projects I want to start. And this is kind of the entrepreneur bug that everyone gets. And I'm sure you've got this too, where you have many really genuinely good ideas, but finding the time to start them, it's a very fine line between starting them and having fun with them, but also your existing business is suffering. And you have to make sure that you have, that's why you have to make sure your systems are in place and your people are in place if you want to explore something else.
Yeah, I agree totally. I mean, sometimes I fall in the trap of, it's not about the money. It's about creating a solution to the problem or the challenge. The challenge is actually more exciting to me than the revenue piece at times. And when you fall into that trap, which is very easy to do, if that foundational business, if you're not on track of that, right, you can get in some serious trouble. So yeah, focus and clarity, key.
So I got a question for you. If you're Joe the plumber or you're Mike the mechanic and you are just really wanting to put some good systems in place, you know, I think we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but you know, what would you, if you were talking to these guys like directly and they don't want to necessarily waste time, you know, creating systems because they don't know really the benefit of it. I mean, what kind of systems would you kind of give as examples that these individuals could use?
Yeah, it's actually a really important question for a lot of the solo operators. There's a few very key ones. And this is not a criticism, but a lot of the handymen and painters and cleaners, they've been in business since the 70s or 80s, right? They've been in business a very long time. Mm-hmm. And they've kept doing things the same way for the past 30 or 40 years. And that's okay. But if you want to take a break, that can be very hard to do. And if you want to save your energy and not always be burnt out, that's when they're going to need the systems too. So a couple systems that I'd say are really essential to have is having a phone system in place, because there are so many handymen and so many painters I talk to all the time who say they don't answer their phones. And I'm just thinking, oh my God, you are giving away so much business by not answering your phone. So having, whether it's you or someone else, having a phone system in place with someone answering it is essential, but also having a follow-up system, because so many that I talk to as well, they do the job and then they take the money and then they leave and that's it. That's actually terrible for growing your business. You want to be following up after and asking how the service was, asking them for a review, trying to push them to become a regular customer. So having some sort of follow-up system after the service is also just as essential as when you're bringing new people in the door.
Right, right. Well, I mean, that's just kind of, it's amazing how many people that have that, they own their job mentality, how they don't graduate to the owning the business mentality and thinking of it at a higher level like that.
Yeah, you would be very surprised. Everything I'm saying right now, I understand is very basic, but you'd be surprised at the amount of people who don't take the time to actually set those basic things up, because that is honestly half the battle. Like when I set up proper systems and a proper workflow, I saved probably 15, 20 hours in my week, and I saved more in stress that I never experienced because of it.
That's a great point. Yeah, because I've never heard anybody say, yay, I'm setting up Trello today.
Yeah.
Right. Like that doesn't typically happen. Unless you're JC. I'm pretty sure you enjoy setting up Trello.
No, not so much. Maybe for other people, but yeah.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about your VA business as a whole. If I'm a small business sitting in Boise, Idaho, what is the experience like when I sign up for your service?
Sure. So basically the way it works, when people think of VAs, they usually think of someone doing social media or research for them. And that's the typical VA description, but our VAs are a little bit different. So we're virtual office assistants and virtual office managers. And so when you sign on with us, we sit down with you and we figure out the core areas that you actually need help with in your business. So some people need help with phones, other needs help with scheduling or managing their teams. And many actually want us to run the whole thing for them. So we just sit down with you and figure out what areas you actually want us to help within your business. So we focus more on helping run your actual office instead of helping you with auxiliary tasks. So when you sign on with us, for example, if you're in Boise, Idaho, and you've been running the phones and managing the teams and the schedule for the last 15 years and you're tired of it, and you actually want to get out of your business and sort of relax for a little bit, you could sign on for one of our virtual managers, and they would actually learn how you do things in your business and go through our own training program to work with you, and they would handle your whole office for you. So you'd go from working, and I'm not exaggerating, some people have done this, 60 hours a week to working less than 5 hours a week.
Dang.
Very interesting. So that answers my other question. How do you deal with the potential of a lot of small business owners are, I don't like to use the word cheap, frugal, maybe a better word, right? Or they're running sometimes with scared money, like it has to work and they have to be in control. So how do you help a new customer kind of walk through the process of relinquishing that control to somebody virtually that they don't know?
Yeah, it's a very insightful question, because this is one of the most common problems we face when signing up people is we talk them through that and they're really excited, but they get actually afraid to give up control, especially when you've had a business for 20 or 30 years. The thought of you not running it anymore is terrifying, because most entrepreneurs, we're kind of control freaks. We want to go after everything, control everything, and we want everything under our control. And so learning to give up that control it's a very hard thing. But what we do is, we have people start off small. So we don't say day one, let us handle your whole business and just trust us. You're not going to meet us face to face, but you can just trust us. We would never do that. So what we do is we say, okay, you're going to sign on for this package. How about we start the first week, we're just going to handle your phones. And once we get good at that and you're confident about that, then we'll handle the text. And then we'll handle emails for you. And then we'll meet your teams and we'll help schedule them. And then we'll handle complaints. So it's more of a gradual exposure step-by-step thing than just a taking it all over at once, because it's actually bad for our office managers. And, you know, they're real people too. So we don't want to just have them take over everything for a business owner from day one, because they'll get just as overwhelmed as the business owner is too. So they also need time to acclimate.
Great advice. Yeah. I mean, I struggle. I'm a control freak, right, JC? You're a control freak.
I think we all have a certain way of doing things that has worked for us. And we all have a thing that, you know, if someone tries doing something different, then it's like, I don't know if that's going to work or not. Because believe me, this is the system that I currently have right now is because I've done it so many times that this is what I ended up with, sort of thing. And I can tell you that a number of, you know, just what you were talking about, Chris, is that a number of entrepreneurs, I mean, they might have kids and they'll liken their business to one of their children. And especially it's like when you start handing over the keys, it's like, it's almost comparable to, you know, the first time a daughter might be dating, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And let's also talk a little bit about comparatively from an investment standpoint. So I hire a physical virtual assistant that's sitting right next to me for, I don't know, $15 an hour, something like that, right?
Sure.
Or I invest in InnovaLocal. Can you share a little bit about how that works, especially when you talk about, you know, what's my initial investment maybe to get started, and how does that work?
Sure. Yeah. So first thing to know is most of our VAs are US-based. So there's someone who understands the culture. They're usually in the same time zone as you. They're just not, you just don't have to smile at them in an office, right? So in terms of an investment, it typically saves people tens of thousands a year. So many office managers are being paid $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year for running a local business based on an hourly wage. But the thing is, with a local business, you're not running it 8 to 10 hours a day, absolutely nonstop. It's actually more like 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there, 30 minutes there. It's split up throughout the day. So there's a lot of downtime. Even when you have a seven-figure business, there's a lot of downtime. So with our virtual assistants, the way we charge people is based on the actual time spent working. So they're available for 8 to 10 hours a day, whatever your business hours are, but we only charge you for the actual amount of time that we worked. And we find that, for example, if someone is at $30,000 a month in recurring revenue, they would typically sign on for us at around a 30-hour a month package, or around an hour and a half a day, 5 days a week. That's in an 8-hour day that to the business owner, they're mentally exhausted and it's so busy and it's crazy. But to us, it's only about 90 minutes of work.
Interesting. That's a great point. Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of assistants and office managers and that, you know, the old saying, look busy. You have to look busy.
Yeah. Right? Well,
and even though they're doing nothing, right?
Well, exactly. And how many businesses can you think of that people are just, you know, they're only putting the time in as employees because they have to be there? I mean, why wouldn't you want to get rid of that? And, you know, especially in today's world where a lot of people are focused more results driven than actual time commitment driven, you know?
Well, one thing that's really helped me is I can't remember who taught me this, but said, look, you as an entrepreneur, you as a founder, you need to put a dollar value on your time because, you know, I catch myself all the time doing these mundane tasks that are $10, $15 an hour tasks that if I just paid somebody, my time is more valuable than $10 or $15 an hour, right? From a production standpoint.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Why are you not paying somebody to do that so you can focus on the things where you're more valuable, your time is worth more, and you lose money by not hiring or spending it for other people to do it for you?
Yeah. A business coach one time actually asked me, we were talking about this, and you know, it came up, the question came up is like, okay, when it comes to you doing job A, job B, or even stuff around the house, well, how do you put that out of your mind? Or how do you put it out of your mind as you having to be the one to do it? And he's like, I just don't consider myself the one to have to think about that. You know, and I think a lot of us are familiar with that mentality when we're thinking about, okay, I don't know anything about a car, I need to hire a mechanic sort of mentality. And there's a lot of things that we get in trouble with trying to, you know, do everything that we possibly can. And that's where we get in trouble. It's that whole, you know, Superman syndrome thing.
Absolutely. But I do think it's important. You know, one thing I've learned is for founders, dabble. I mean, learn everything, because when you do hire somebody, you know, there's a lot of services out there that can take advantage if you don't know what you're doing. I mean, I'm a marketing professional, so I see that all the time, that a company will hire a marketer knowing that company doesn't have a clue, and they'll overcharge them or overpromise them or all those different things, where if you have some basic understanding of how it works, it helps protect you, right? But there does come that point where you're not a marketing professional, right? And you need to hire somebody to do that work for you. It's just crucial. And that's where businesses like Innova Local are crucial to success for companies.
Well, thank you. And if I may, I actually have so you said assigning a dollar value to your time. I do something similar and I tell people to do something similar, but it's not quite with dollar values. What we actually do is, and I always preach, is to assign things a letter value. So it's called the ABCDE method of prioritization. And what it is you assign the importance of a task a letter. So a really crucial task that you need to do today would be an A task. An important task would be B, all the way down to E, which is something that if it's done, great, but if it's not, it doesn't really matter. And what I tell people to do is assign a letter to every task, and then for all the C, D, and E tasks, look at who you can delegate them to, because you should only be spending time on the A and B tasks.
That is great advice. Look, right there's the $1 million nugget for anybody listening to this right now. That's why you listen to this show. That's why you listen till near the end, right? Because you never know when those $1 million nuggets are going to come out like that.
And it's usually deeper into the conversation, the better the nuggets are, at least what I've found. So we've been talking about your ThinkMades and how you actually got into the lifestyle that you're currently in, including your current business, Nova Local. But you also have something else going on called Local Business Hustlers. Tell us what that's all about.
Sure. This is actually a really new project. New as in it's launching next week. And what it is, it's a core group of people, local business owners, who actually just want to get together and hold each other accountable and really get in each other's businesses and grow it. So what I see a lot of these days is Facebook groups, and those are great. Being in a Facebook group and sharing some knowledge with each other is great. There's nothing wrong with that. But my problem with that is everyone is always trying to sell you something in those groups. Even if they drop some knowledge, they're still trying to sell you something no matter what.
Yes.
Because no one is going to set up a group with 10,000 people in it and spend 30 hours a week in it for free. There is another objective there, and I don't actually like that. So what Local Business Hustlers is, it's a completely separate business in a completely separate platform. And it's really going to be a community, not on any social media site, where people can get together and just grow each other's businesses and have fun. So the way it works is, in order to facilitate a no-selling thing, they just pay one monthly fee for it. That's it. And there will never be anything sold inside for them. It's just going to be a group of people to get together and share all their tactics and strategies and things that are working. Because if we can get, you know, seven-figure painting business owners in Dallas, Texas, to share their strategies with six-figure cleaning and painting business owners in D.C. or Maryland, they can use that same knowledge to grow their own businesses across the country. And so we want to facilitate that sort of really strong discussion.
And how do you plan on overcoming the barrier that some of these people have of keeping things a secret, right?
Yeah,
they don't want to share.
And I was thinking about that too. It's like, how do you get over the competitive mindset of a lot of these I guess traditional business folks?
I just don't really ever feel that way, to be honest. There's something about the communities that I've been in so far, and when I started my business, everyone is so willing to help each other, at least the communities that I've been in. And I'm really happy to have people share that stuff too. They won't get the accountability. They won't get the up-to-date knowledge. They won't get the case studies. They won't get a lot of the really cool stuff inside that group. But it's okay if they get some of the strategies and tactics. I'm not hoarding it like some greedy dragon. It's completely fine with me for them to have that knowledge. There's no scarcity mindset. You know, why would I try and keep secret templates to myself that works for my cleaning business in D.C., when someone else in Houston can benefit from it, right? I'm never going to start a cleaning business in Houston, so there's no competition there for me. So I'm more than happy for them to use that.
Well, I guess maybe more to the point of what I'm asking is like, well, what's preventing someone else in D.C. from hopping into the group or something like that?
Oh, they have. You know, so one of my friends started a cleaning company in the D.C. area, and I showed him my Airbnb cleaning landing page. We were ranked number one for Airbnb cleaning in Washington, D.C. And he basically did a bunch of a copy. He copied a lot of it, basically. And now he's ranked for number one in Airbnb cleaning in Washington, D.C. But it doesn't bother me at all. Like, we still, there's enough to go around for everyone.
Yeah, and I'm in that same mindset. You know, that's one of the things we preach here. I don't care if you're a direct competitor to me or not. I want you to do well because it helps the industry, right? And I can't serve everybody. So it only benefits the community, it benefits the business, it benefits the industry if everybody's doing it at a higher level.
Exactly. And there really is enough to go around. You know, with local services, they're an enormous multi-billion dollar industry. And so if you think a competitor taking one of your tactics and running with it is going to affect you, I think you just have the wrong mindset.
And going on to the getting down in the pipeline, what are some of the things that you got going on the rest of this year?
So with the launch of this group, that's going to be a big thing for sure. And that'll be really fun. But I also really want to get into social entrepreneurship. So when I start a business, I always look for some way that I can give back to a community too. So one community that's very important to me is the autism community. So I always try and give parts of our revenue or donate in some way or give back to the autism community when I start a new business. But those are great, feel good type of things. But I also want to start some sort of social entrepreneurship project where the whole purpose of the project is centered around that goal. So I don't really know what that'll be yet, but I think this year that's something that I'd love to get into.
That's so cool. and it parallels a lot of what we're doing too. So that's exciting. Love that. Harrison, you ready? Ready for the rapid fire questions, my friend? How you doing?
Thanks. I'm excited, man.
All right.
Like I can't, I'm on the edge of my seat right now.
All right. So the first rapid fire question we got for you, Chris, who are your top three influencers or teachers who have launched you to where you're at today?
So he's not your typical business owner, but my movement coach, Steve Atlas. I'm very into handstands and movement and all that weird type of sports. And he's my coach for that. But he's been absolutely essential for my success in business as well, because of the philosophy that he imparts to me on life. So he's absolutely number one. Number two would be Tim Ferriss. I'm sure a lot of people have said that before, but Tim really was a huge influence for me. Number three, a guy called Rohan Gilkes. I'm not sure if you've heard of him or not. He's not maybe as famous as Tim is, but he helped a lot of people start cleaning companies years ago. And I actually stumbled across him when I was starting my own cleaning company. And the way he did that was just really cool. So he was a huge influence to me early on when I started my cleaning company originally.
What's one gift that you like giving others?
Oh, there's a lot, but just any sort of experience together. We're so busy and disconnected from each other these days that I love just being with the other person. And I think they appreciate that too. So if I can give them the gift of my time and energy where I'm really just focused on them and doing some experience together, I love giving that.
Hmm. When you become overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do?
I'm a bit of an optimization freak. So, I always go and review all my goals, all my to-do lists, all my projects, and I try and simplify it as much as I can down to some sort of minimalist version of what I really want to do. And I really think hard about it for days. Even if I'm completely overwhelmed, I will just let it happen and I will ignore, and this is bad, but this is what I do. And I will ignore some of the tasks that I need to do so I can really focus on getting back to what I actually want to be doing. Because it's really easy when you have stressful things going on to get off track. And so it goes back to gaining clarity on what I want to do again. And then I find I'm not so overwhelmed anymore.
Now I'm going to tweak this question a little bit because you're such a special guest. Normally, we would ask what your least favorite social custom is. But because you travel the world consistently, I want to know what your favorite social custom is from somewhere else around the world.
I would just say being friendly to strangers. In a lot of Europe, if you don't know someone, you don't really approach them. And it's not, it can be a little cold. But throughout my travels in Asia and many places in Europe and North America too, being friendly to strangers and going out of your way to help them is just a really big thing, especially someone who travels a lot. So Japan, for example, when you're lost, it's very easy to see when someone is lost. But many people they'll actually come up to you and actually help you and guide you where you need to go. And I think that's a wonderful social custom, this inbuilt thing where you really want to help other people, even if you've never met them before.
I love that. And I think in the Midwest, we just kind of take that for granted just about, but maybe not all circles. But yeah, I love that. That's so cool. What is one thing you believe all high school students must know?
There's nothing more deceptive than an obvious fact. So you learn a lot of facts and things in school. And they're not bad to know, but often you don't really learn anything in depth. And it's very deceptive to yourself if you don't take the time to go in depth on things. And so I would say there's nothing more deceptive than obvious fact. That's a Sherlock Holmes quote, by the way. And you should take the time to learn some things more in depth than just accumulating things.
JC's going to kill me on this one, but we're going improv here because this question has to be asked. Can you offer up one tip, one travel tip? Traveling's stressful and you travel a lot. So can you offer up one tip on making travel easier for people?
So one thing I do is even if it costs me extra, I always book premium economy because I found that when you book premium economy, you often get upgraded to business class for free. And if you don't, premium economy is still better than economy. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. Being economy on a 16-hour flight is just awful, truly awful experience. And premium economy, even if it's a little bit extra, the experience is so much better and you have that chance of getting upgraded. Because if you get upgraded from economy to premium, it's not that much of an upgrade. But if you get upgraded from premium to business, it's game changing. So I would say pay the extra for premium economy, and it's totally worth it every time.
Awesome. And final question, what's the secret to achieving personal freedom?
Clarity and prioritization. If you can gain clarity in what you want to do, whether that's through meditation, sitting down and reflecting, however you do that, once you've found what it is, figure out a system of prioritizing actually doing that and make sure you put safeguards for not getting off track.
Yeah, very important. Yeah, and it just again, I mean, we've beat it on the head several times in this. It's all about those systems. So having everything in place and not giving yourself ways to meander too much, because I mean, it just in the long run does yourself a disservice for sure. So yeah, as we're wrapping up again, Chris, you can be found at novalocal.com, and where else can people reach you on the social medias?
They can find me at thinkmates.com, my website. They can just search Chris Schwab. I'm doing a handstand in my picture, so I guess that's a little unusual, but they can find me on Facebook that way. I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't really use it, to be honest. Facebook is the best place. I'm always happy to answer people's emails too. They can always email me, owner@thinkmates.com, and I'm always happy to answer people's questions.
All right, cool. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on with us, and it's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. It was real
good
fun.
Good stuff. Thank you, sir.
Again, thanks to Chris for coming on. Really insightful conversation. And no, it's really not something that you normally think about. I mean, if you run a certain kind of service or shop, you're generally expected to be there. A baker that owns a bakery is going to be there all the time. Even if you're a fan of Bob's Burgers, Bob is there all the time. And, you know, this conversation really completely turns that idea on its head. And then it's a really unique concept that makes a ton of sense. Don't forget, if you want to take this conversation to the next level, head on over to the show notes. There you'll find links to things that we discussed today, as well as the show note extras. And the show note extras for this session include two other interviews from Chris, where you'll can see his progression from starting ThinkMades to more where he's at now. And on top of that, we spoke a bit about his new project called Local Business Hustlers. And I have a couple of live recordings where he's talking more in detail about what that resource is and isn't. You know, if you want to transform your local business into something like what Chris has been able to put together, definitely want to check out those last two videos. So guys, that's it for session 127. And the next one, Veronica joins me again for a conversation with a gal by the name of Erin Rocchio. And Erin is a coach who focuses her work with C-suite level leaders. And it was a really interesting conversation that Veronica and I had with her. You know, we talked about how she regularly uses the Enneagram in her work and how that knowledge will allow people to fit better into a new organization and how we as leaders can better cultivate teams. So if you're a leader in an organization, definitely want to check that conversation out. So guys, again, that's it for session 127. Don't forget to check out that Fizzle podcast session I was talking about. Again, link will be in the show notes. And you can check out Fizzle on its own by going to newinceptions.com/Fizzle to get that free month. That being said, thanks again for joining Harrison, Chris, and myself today. And until next session, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, Instagram @new.inceptions, and on the web @newinceptions.com.